Amen. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Woo, let's give the praise team a hand for leading us to the throne of grace today. Give them a hand. They did a great job today. You know, the other thing I love is the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people, so He's here, right? He inhabits the praises of His people, so God is here. So I want to just give a warm welcome to God. Just say, God, man, we're so thankful that You're here and that You care about what's going on here. You care about what's happening in this service. And so, man, I am just thankful for what God is doing today. It's Life Group Rally. You guys look around. There's tables set up around the room here. And, man, we want you guys to get plugged in. We want you to get connected with some relationships and some people that you can do life with. And so that's what life groups are about. And so after the service, you're going to have an opportunity to go over and try to connect. Maybe find one that works for you and just get plugged in. I want to challenge you to go ahead and commit to do that even now. You might think, well, man, I don't have time for a life group. You're missing out on one of the key parts of being a part of the church. You know, and I just want to challenge you, man, just to say, you know, God, show me where You want me to get involved. Show me what life group is right for me and right for us. And so, to go ahead and just make that decision. Say, you know what, I'm not going to try to talk myself out of it. I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what, God, I surrender. And God, I'm going to be a part of one. I don't know which one, but You're going to show me which one. And so I want to challenge you to do that. But today we're talking about servants. We are servants. Here at Journey Church, we talk about who we are. And so, we as followers of Christ, we are servants. It's what we're called to do. We're to serve people. And so last week, you know, we talked about relationships. We talked about some of the things that are important in who we are. But we want you to understand what servanthood means. One of the challenges we have for all of our leaders, whether it's a life group leader, whether it's someone here, you know, that leads in maybe in the worship area with our staff, is servant leadership is what we are to model. It's what we're taught. And so if you've got your outlines, you can take them out and kind of follow along. But we believe, and this is what we believe, that we're to serve. That we're to be servant leaders. And so, read this passage with me here. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. Now, let me pause you there for just a second. When you believed. Let me tell you some exciting news. You know, just over the last couple of weeks, God has really been working in 2018 for our church and in our church and through our church. And so, we had some cool things happen. So, we're talking about right there, we were saved when we believed. And so, last Sunday, you know, in the first service, we had one decision. Second service, we had like seven decisions for Christ. Yeah, y'all can give it up, but I'm not done. Here's the cool thing. We had students who went to the Strength to Stand conference. We had five teenagers that prayed to receive Christ at that. And then, the week before that, I had a young man come to me who wanted to talk about salvation. And man, he prayed to receive Christ in my office. His little brother had done that just a few days before. And then, even this past week, had a friend of mine who asked me to come over to his house. His daughter, you know, was wanting to make that decision. She wanted to talk to me, and she gave her life to Christ. So, now you can give God a hand. You know, isn't that awesome that God is at work in our church like that? So here's what I want you to understand. These passages we're about to read, man, a lot of that is speaking to the believer. So we've got a lot of new believers. And like next Sunday, we have baptism. And so we've got a lot of people that are going to be obedient to Christ and follow Him in believers' baptism. So I'm looking forward to next Sunday being a celebration as well. And so there's a lot of cool things that are happening, you know, here in our church. But more than anything, there's lives being changed. Forever. These are eternal decisions. And so let's pick back up with our verse here. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. It's through faith. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, our workmanship. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. All right, so that's Ephesians. So here's what I want you to understand. We are only saved by God's grace, His amazing grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Me. And so Jesus made a very exclusive statement there. But here's the thing. It was truth. I loved it a while ago when we were singing that last song. And some of the things that the lyrics were saying, I just wanted to yell out. I wanted to say, it is truth. That is truth. You know, and so we're proclaiming that. We're proclaiming that truth. So I want you to understand that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but Me. He was truth. He was the Word of God that became flesh. He was truth. He is truth. And so here's the thing. He is telling you and He's telling me that is the only way to be saved. So what I want to do is I want to say this on the front end. We're talking about being servants. But I do not want you to misunderstand and think that we're talking about earning your way to God. I don't want you to think that, hey, by serving in the church, by doing something in the church, you know what, maybe God will like me enough. Maybe God will accept me. Maybe God will really want me to be a part of His family. He loved you enough that He sent His only Son to die on the cross so that you could be a part of it. And so don't misunderstand today in any way that, hey, listen, if I do enough good works, if I serve at the church, then maybe I'll be saved. That's not how it works. We're saved only by God's amazing grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did on the cross, and what he did, He bled out His precious blood for your sins and for my sins. And so don't misunderstand anything else we covered today. Be clear on that. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone and what He has done. And so look at the statement here that is taken from that passage. It says, created us anew in Christ Jesus. You were made to make a contribution, not just to consume. So we were created anew in Christ. So for all those people that I just mentioned who made decisions to accept Christ, the Bible says that they are a new creation. The old has passed and that the new has come. They have literally been accepted into God's family. They are a part of the family of God, no longer just a creation of God. And so the cool thing is God will continue to change them, and He'll bring new things into their life day after day until they breathe their last. And then He'll take them to a new home. And so the cool thing is for us to understand that, man, you know, when we're saved, we're created anew. We're made new. You know, and so here's the thing. The old things pass away. The way that we thought, the way that we lived, what motivated us, and here's the thing, what we lived for changes. And now it's, you know what, man, I want to live for Christ. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And so there's some cool things there. So the statement says, created us anew in Christ. You were made to make a contribution. We're His workmanship. And it's not just to consume. So in other words, it's not about me being on the receiving end of everything. You know, because here's the thing, we all struggle with being selfish, don't we? We struggle with being greedy. We struggle with wanting what someone else has. And we struggle with not being satisfied with what we get. You know, and so here's the thing is, that comes natural because we battle this flesh. And nobody has to teach our kids to be selfish, to kind of hoard things, to kind of, you know, not let anybody else have your stuff. That comes natural. This flesh, man, that's what it screams. But to serve others, that's a God thing. To die to self and to serve others, that's a God thing. And so I want us to look at this statement here. It says, what matters is not how long you live, but how you live. It's not how long you live, but how you live. And so here's the thing. A lot of us in here, you know, man, we want to live to a ripe old age. You know, but I know a lot of older people that have lived beyond what they feel like they're able to really contribute and do things. And they start longing to be home with Jesus. And maybe you've got family members like that, you know, they'll go, man, I'm tired. And I really want to go on home to be with the Lord. I'm just waiting for God to call me home. Now, God has them here for a purpose. But here's the thing is, maybe they have kind of lost sight of what that purpose is. But God still has them here for something. And so the thing is a lot of us, you know, it's not, we get focused, man, I want to live a long life. A long life can be a miserable life. But here's the thing, you want to live a life with purpose. And I want every one of you to understand this, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He wants to do great and mighty things through you. And I know there's some of you in here that you're going like, Mike, you know, I'm an introvert and I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person. I don't really think God can do great things through me. You measure with the wrong stick. So what I'm saying is God wants to do great things through you. You lead a kid to Christ, there's nothing greater. Man, you lead a friend to Christ, there's nothing greater. You lead someone to Christ, you lead someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus, there's nothing greater. And so God wants to do great and mighty things through you. And that's the thing we've looked at. We are missional. We are, you know, that's our goal. We want to be evangelistic. We want to share with others how God can save them. And so how long we live is not the question, but it's how you live. So let me ask you, are you a servant? Are you a servant of the God, the one true God, the Most High God? Do you serve Him? Do you serve others? Are you self-seeking? Are you self-serving? Is everything about you? So maybe today, that's the question for all of us. You know, God, do I have a servant's heart? Do I seek to serve? And there's lots of believers in this room. Lots of Christians probably sitting in this room. But the question is do you serve like Jesus served? And so I want to look at a passage here. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And so, you know, we talk about using our spiritual gifts. How do we make a difference in the lives of people? And God uses our spiritual gifts. And so there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Now I want you to take your pen And I want you to underline that last sentence in that passage if you got your outline. You got pens because we put them out for you. All right, so I want you to underline that. And so here's the thing is I want you guys to understand, you know, we have been given spiritual gifts, not just to serve God, but to what? Help others. Isn't that what it said? All right, everybody say it together. To help others. Thank you. And so here's the thing. You're given that spiritual gift to help others. That's serving, isn't it? That's meeting the needs of the people around you. And so God has given you spiritual gifts. Now, you might say, well, Mike, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. You need to figure out what that is. You need to find out. We, as a church, will do everything we can to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. And here's the thing. There's a list of them in the Scriptures. But you need to discover what your spiritual gifts are so that you can say, God, I want you to grow me in that area. And now, how do you get a spiritual gift? It's whenever you accept Christ. If you put your faith in Christ for salvation and you say, Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my life. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I have blown it. I have messed up. I want to repent. I want to quit living the way I've been living. I want to live for you. And so, Jesus, with all the faith that I have, I put my faith in you for salvation. And I want to ask you to save me. And Jesus says he will. And so here's the cool thing about that. Whenever we are saved, Jesus not only steps into our life, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he seals us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But here's the other thing. He brings gifts. And he gives you a gift to be used to help build up the body of Christ and to make a difference. And so those spiritual gifts, and maybe you have the gift of teaching. We've got people who have got host homes over here, and maybe they have the gift of teaching. They're saying, hey, listen, I'm going to be a life group leader. And they're using their gift of teaching to teach others and to make disciples. Next Sunday, well, that's what we're talking about. We are disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean to be a disciple? And so we're going to be looking at that next Sunday. But here's the thing. You've got people that are using their gifts to teach. We've got some people who are using their gifts of hospitality just to host maybe a group that will meet in their home. How cool to be able to say to your kids, hey man, the Word of God is taught in our home. There are people's lives that are being changed in our home. And so maybe you have the gift of hospitality. Use that gift for those purposes and to help build up the body of Christ. My wife is a nurse. Her gift is mercy. And so she loves to minister to people by meeting that need. And so we use those gifts to minister to people. And so God gives us that gift. And let me just say this. He did not give it to you for you to sit on and to not use. If he gave you that gift, he gave you that gift to use and to make a difference in the lives of people. And if we go back to the passage again, it's to help each other. To help other people. It's not to help us out. It's to help other people. And so let's look at how we're shaped here. And I teach this in our membership class. We talk about being shaped, that God has shaped us for a purpose. God has shaped us for this very moment. Now, here's the thing we have a tendency to do as people. We tend to think back a lot on the past, and a lot of times we live in regret, you know, or maybe we live in the glory days. We think about how good we used to be back in the day. You know, I always joke about guys need to get shirts and say, man, you know, the older I get, the better I was, whether it was high school sports or whatever. But here's the thing is, what we do is we tend to look back and we think we live in the past, or we keep saying, well, one day when I make enough money, one day when I get older, one day, and that day maybe never get there. The thing is, we're supposed to live in the present. So here's the thing. God has shaped you for ministry for this moment. God has shaped you for ministry for this moment. And so the way that God shapes us is that first one that we just talked about is spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? So what am I gifted to do? Am I gifted to teach? Am I gifted with mercy? Am I gifted with hospitality? Am I gifted with craftsmanship? You know, whatever it might be, what are the gifts that God has given you? Maybe you have the gift of evangelism, and God expects you to really go above and beyond at sharing your faith because you're so very effective at it. Then use that gift. Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Then lead, and lead well is what the Bible says. So whatever those gifts are, God has given you spiritual gifts, not for you to sit on, but to use them for the building up of the kingdom of God. And so spiritual gifts is our S there, spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? H is heart. Heart, what I love to do. What do I love to do? So, you know, I don't know what you love to do, but maybe there's a passion that you have. You know, maybe there's some area of ministry that you're just passionate about. And it may not be what you're gifted to do, but it's what you love to do. But God has shaped you for ministry by taking not only your spiritual gifts, but your heart as well. So I remember years ago there was a young man who wanted to, he discovered his spiritual gifts. He wanted to be involved, so he got involved in children's ministry to start out with. And he served there for a while. He said, man, I just don't feel like I'm where God wants me to be. And so thank God he didn't get stuck there. Sometimes you get stuck in certain areas of ministry and you can't seem to get out. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is he was able to move into student ministry and he felt like all right, student ministry is where I need to be. Because, man, he goes, this is where I want to be. But what he found out was that, you know, it wasn't just the students. It was the students that were on the edge. It was the students that everybody was like, hey, listen, that kid's going to be in your group. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the kids that nobody wanted to minister to were the ones that he loved the most. He's like, you know what? That's who I want to minister to. So his passion was not just ministering to the kids that were tough to deal with in the church, but the ones in the juvenile detention centers, the ones that nobody wanted. And so God gave him a passion for that type of child. And so he began to minister to that type of child. And so here's the thing. He was ministering in the moment. It had more to do with his heart, what he loved. He loved reaching out to these kids that nobody else would reach out to, that everybody else had given up on. And so shape, spiritual gifts, heart, and then here's another one, is abilities. What comes natural to me? There's some of you that, man, you just have natural abilities. You know, maybe it's to sing. You know, maybe you can sing like nobody. You know, and so you have a natural ability to be able to do that. Maybe you're a natural leader, whatever it might be. But there's certain things that you have going up for you that are just natural, that God has just, you know, He just wired you together that way. And so maybe you're a natural whatever. Then how are you going to use that to help build up the body of Christ and serve others around you? How are you going to use how God has put you together? And so that's our abilities. And then personality, what we're like. You know, what's your personality? Your personality comes into play. You know, there are some people that they have an, you know, inward, introverted personality. Some people are extroverts, you know, and they're the life of the party. They're just waiting for a party to happen. If there's not a party, they'll start one type deal. But you got some people that their personality lends to a different area of ministry. And we had a guy years ago that he came to me one day and he said, man, he said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He said, I can't get up in front of people and I can't speak in front of people. And I said, well, you said anything I want you to do. What if I want you to get up in front of people and speak? You know, and he was like, no way. And he said, but I'll help any way I can. And you know where he flourished? Because we tried him out as a greeter and he was standing at the door and it was awkward and uncomfortable for him and for the people getting, you know, the handout from him. It was like, all right, man, we're torturing this guy. So where we found out was in the sound booth was where his strength was. And he served in our sound booth for years, man. And his personality didn't lend to being a greeter or maybe serving in other areas. Definitely not with children or youth. But man, in that tech booth, man, he was a servant. And he made an incredible difference. But his personality, that's what it lent to. And so a lot of times we say, well, I'm not good at, you know, meeting people and being up in front of people and greeting people. There's somewhere for you to serve. There's somewhere for you to make a difference. There's somewhere that you can literally help the body of Christ grow. So don't make excuses. Don't let personality be the reason that you don't do anything. Maybe you say, well, I'm shy. That's all right. You know what? You guys may not know this, but we have prayer teams that are scattered. There's people scattered all over this building praying for you right now. Praying for me as I teach. You know what? They're sitting in a corner by themselves just praying, interceding, praying for you. Praying for God's Spirit to move. Praying for the lost to be saved. And if you're shy, that's a good place to be. Sitting in the front of God, interceding for the church. So, personality. And then E is experience. So, shape is spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. What we've been through. And so, see, there may be some of you that you've been through some tough things. Maybe you've been through some good things. Maybe you've learned how to navigate life in some areas, and you want to help someone else go down that same road. Maybe miss some of the potholes and some of the things and heartaches that are there. There may be some of you in this room that, man, you've gone through a divorce, and you know how ugly and nasty it can be. Maybe you went through an abusive marriage, and you know someone who is struggling with that. God's going to use you to minister to someone to be able to help them navigate the road ahead. Maybe there's something else that you've gone through. You know, maybe you're here and you're a lady and you've gone through an abortion, and man, it's killing you, and you just don't know how to navigate. There's someone who has gone through that ahead of you, and they'll use that experience to help you navigate and move towards healing. Maybe it's a miscarriage. You know, maybe a miscarriage, and you've struggled with that, and you just really kind of needing God to help you, and there's people that God will use them to be able to help a lady who has dealt with that, another lady come alongside of her and walk with her. There's lots of things that God will use our experiences for. Maybe you got fired from your job, you got blindsided one day, and man, you thought, man, what in the world, how am I going to take care of my family? But yet God provided, and then you found someone who has experienced the same thing, you get to go to him and say, hey, listen, man, I'm just telling you, God will take care of you. Trust him. Lean into him. And I know what it feels like. Believe me, I've been there. And so whatever that might be, whatever those experiences are, God is shaping you. He's preparing you to minister. Here's the thing, to serve someone, to care for them. Look at this. Jesus taught serving. For those of us in the room here that we claim to be followers of Christ, we are to follow His teaching. Remember last week we talked about being missional? We talked about the Great Commission. We're to make disciples, baptizing them, and then teaching them everything that Jesus taught us. Isn't that what it says? Well, here's the thing. He's taught us that we're to serve. And if we're not serving, if you're here today and you're a believer, you're not a follower, and you're not serving in any capacity, you're not following Him. And you're not lining up with His teaching. So He is speaking to us through His Word very clearly here. Jesus taught serving. Look at what it says. It says, when the ten other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Now here's the thing. James and John, they want special privilege. They want special seats. They're wanting kind of, hey, I want a little bit of privilege here, Jesus. And the other guys get ticked. The rest of the disciples are like, hey, wait a minute. You know, how come they're going to get that? You know, and so Jesus has to kind of set them down. Hey, listen, let me be clear on something here. It says, so, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. So here they're all about position, right? And Jesus says it's not about position. It's about serving. And so here's the thing, is a lot of times we get caught up in position. I had a friend of mine years ago wanted to be a deacon in a church, and he'd go around, he'd kind of politic, you know, and he would say, hey, listen, man, if you'll vote for me, I'll represent you well. And I went to him, I said, hey, listen, bud, I said, if you'll just do the work of a deacon, they'll vote for you. You know, I wish our politicians would read this passage here, don't you? Especially this week. I mean, that's pretty relevant right there. God's Word is always relevant. And so whenever I read that, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish the leaders of our country would read this. And realize, you know what, their job is to serve the people. Instead of lord over us what position they have. And so the thing is we as the church need to have that mentality. You know what, if you're a boss in your workplace, do you lord it over your people? Do you make sure they know that you're the boss? Or do you serve them? Do you look for ways to bless them? Do you speak life over them? Do you encourage them? Now here's the thing, you still have to hold them accountable to their job. That's your job. But do you look for ways to bless them? Jesus taught serving. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came to be served. I mean, Jesus came to serve. And so He's teaching us, hey, listen, this is what you got to be about. Let's drop down to this next passage here. It says, this is out of Mark. It says, then calling the crowd to join His disciples, He said, if any of you wants to be My follower, you must give up your own way. That's tough right there, isn't it? We like things our way. You know, we have the Burger King mentality. We want it our way, you know. But here, He said, hey, listen, you got to be willing to give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow Me. Now, let me pause there for a second. It's easy for us to read that passage because we go, oh, cross, yeah. You know, jewelry for us, something that adorns a wall or something. But understand this, in that day, to say the cross was like, they gasped. They're like, what? The cross? That was the most humiliating way to die. It was the most gruesome way to die. It was the most suffering way to die. It was horrible. And so Jesus said, listen, if you're going to follow Me, you have to take up your cross daily and follow Me. And they're like, what? We thought that following You was going to be different. We thought You were going to overthrow this kingdom. We thought that it was going to be different. As You say, listen, if you're going to follow Me, you've got to be willing to die. And understand, when Jesus went to the cross, He knew what He was going to. And He's letting His disciples know, hey, if you're going to follow Me, you've got to be willing to take up your cross. And so for us, when we read that, it doesn't hit us the same. But in the day, it would have literally taken them back. And they're like, what? What? And so he's challenging them. He said, listen, man, this is not an easy road that we're talking about. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake and for the sake of the good news, the gospel, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? All right, so Jesus is asking that question. Is there anything worth more than your soul? See, a lot of times we think our comfort's worth more than our soul. We think our our reputation is worth more than our soul. We can start listing off a few things that we start thinking, well, that's more important than my soul. You know, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want people, and my pride is more important than my soul. Jesus said, hey, listen, this is where it's at. This is where the rubber hits the road. It's about serving. And so not only did Jesus teach about serving, Jesus modeled serving. He taught on it. And it's real easy sometimes for us to teach our kids certain things, but we don't do them. Mom and Dad, you know what that's like? We tell our kids and we say, hey, listen, you don't do what I do, you do what I say. They don't read that real well, right? They do what we do. Our kids are going to do what we do. Some of the things are good and some of the things are bad, but they're going to do what we do. So Jesus modeled serving. Look at what it says here. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father. To understand, Jesus realized, hey, you know what? He knows what's about to happen. He knows what's next. It's the cross. The very thing He just got through teaching about. He knows that the cross is next. He knows that it's suffering. He knows that it's humiliation. He knows that He'll be hung naked before people and they will throw stones at Him. They will literally make fun of Him. He knows it. He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth. And now He loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything and that He had come from God and would return to God. So He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, and poured water in a basin. Then He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had around Him. And we're going to drop down to verse 12 here. In that little section right there, Peter kind of gets in an argument with Jesus. Saying, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in me. And he goes, well, don't wash my feet, just wash everything. And Jesus has to do another teaching lesson with Peter. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. Let's drop down to verse 12. It says, after washing their feet, He put on His robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. All right, now think about us for a second. He's speaking to the disciples. We're to wash each other's feet if we're disciples of Christ. If we're followers of Christ, we need to be looking for ways that we can wash each other's feet. Verse 15, it says, I've given you an example to follow. If we're followers of Christ, we follow what He did. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So when we read that passage there, and we look back, there's a couple of cool things that I think are awesome here. You know, we look back and we realize, all right, Jesus knows it's the end. He's about to leave this world. He knows that the cross is next. And we start thinking, I wonder what He's going to give the disciples. What is He going to give them to empower them? What's He going to give them to be prepared that when He leaves, when He dies on the cross, that you know what? They'll be ready. And He gives them a towel. He gives them the example of washing feet. Not exactly what maybe a military mindset might be. Not exactly what most of us would think. You know, and so what Jesus did is He gives them a towel. The power of that. The mentality of that. To get down and wash the feet of people. Now, so many people may say, well, I'm not a foot person. Jesus was. We often will say, you know what? I'm not about this. I'm not about that. We've got to look back and say, hey, what was Jesus? If I'm a follower of Christ, then I've got to be willing to die to some things. But the last statement there says, God will bless you for doing. That's the words of Christ. God will bless you for serving others. God will bless you for washing the feet of your people. He will bless you for washing the feet of your community. God will bless you if you serve others. He will bless you if you wash the feet of the people in your life group. He will bless you if you serve others. And so it's important for us to understand that. So let's drop down here. It says, God will bless you as you bless others. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make more room, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And so here's the thing. Jesus taught a lot of things. The three major things was to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love others as yourself. And then here's the thing. He teaches us here to serve others. Serve God by serving others. And then he would say to give. He would say it's important for us to give. Give. Be a blessing. But to serve God. You know, to bless God. And here's the thing. Give to the church. Here's the thing. Give to people in need. That's taught over and over through the Scriptures. I want to ask Wendy Chidella to come up. And Wendy is one of our staff members here at Journey Church. And y'all give her a hand. Woo-hoo! For Wendy. Come on up, Wendy. You come up to cheers. Everybody's cheering for you. So, Wendy, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit?
My name is Wendy Chidella. I am from a small town in Ohio called Ashtabula. I am married to the magnificent Jay Chidella, and we have three of the most handsome boys in the world. And after being a volunteer for 10 years, I was able to come on church staff. And I just celebrated my journiversary.
That's right. 1 year this week. She's been on staff 1 year. And Wendy is the cayenne pepper of our staff. You know, I don't know if y'all have that description on y'all's staff, but she, if you know her, she has energy. She loves people. She has a servant's heart. So the reason she's here today is her and her family literally model what we're talking about today, serving. And she cares about people and looks for ways to minister to them and bless them, and has an incredible heart. So Wendy, you know, when I make that statement, God will bless you as you bless others. Give me an example of how God has blessed you as you have served through the years.
So God has blessed me in healing an enormous amount of pain that was in my heart. At the age of 25, I suffered my last miscarriage, and that was number 7. And I was broken and devastated, and it's a pain that it's just like no other, especially when you're a woman and you're thinking, like, it's just so natural to have children. And that was always in mine and Jay's plan, to have more children. When I was pregnant with Matthew, my doctor had told me that for the detriment of my life and for the life of my future children, I had to get my tubes tied. And so we just have our three boys. But I was healed from all of my pain by serving in children's ministry for 10 years. And it was amazing. And it was God's plan for us to have more children. They just weren't ours.
That's right.
They were everybody else's.
You can send those back home, right?
That's right. And that is what healed me, was being able to be the drop in so many children's stories, and to love on them as much as Jesus loved me.
So being able to serve even the little ones, serving the little ones, God used that to bless you and to heal you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not only did it heal me, but it strengthened my whole family. My husband is, he serves on the cafe leader, and my son Devin, who is autistic, is up here on Sundays, very visually, right there in the drum box. And, you know, he was able to, that's where he found best friends. That's where he came out of his shell. And my son Matthew, who serves in production, and he loves to hug babies also, and that's where he met and was able to break out of his self. And it's just to be around other people that are loving God in the same way that you are, it's easy to just let your walls down.
Well, and Joey is running
Joey
the lights up there. That's what's up, Joey? But anyway, so Joey's running the lights today. And so here's a family, and I want you, Mom and Dad, to hear this. You know, Jay is serving. Wendy is serving. Their kids are serving. And so I think it's important for Mom and Dad to understand. Our kids need to understand what it means to serve others. We need to model that for them. Just like Jesus modeled it for us. He modeled for us what it means to serve. And so to have a mom and a dad who are modeling that, their kids are following that. And so if you've got kids that won't do anything, maybe they need to see you doing something too. You know what I'm saying? They need to see you serving, using your gifts, using your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences to make a difference in the lives of others. And so that's something we need to kind of walk away with is, you know, I want my kids to do certain things, and I need to be willing to lead and model that. And so that's important. So Wendy, what are some ways that God has taught you about serving and the importance of it through the years?
You know, in Galatians it talks about how we are supposed to be looking for opportunities to be worshiping and by serving. And it even says, especially your faith family, which is the church. So
right.
Jay and I, our prayer every morning when we get up is, Lord, let us be the light for you today. Show us how we can serve you and better serve you each and every day. And that's not even just our prayers, that's our dinner prayers with our children. So for us to just go out and to have that mindset that we have to, or we get to, serve the Lord, there's no greater tangible way to touch God than to be doing His service.
That's
to
right.
be in His presence and serving the body is there's no greater love. There's no greater joy. There's there's no better way to be healed and to be happy and to be filled with all the fruits of the Spirit without serving.
Amen. You said you shared with me this past week about how God had to get your attention because you didn't always have that servant mentality. Share with us a story.
Yes. So it's just, it's not, it's a God coincidence that today is Life Group Rally. So back in Arkansas at a different church, we're a military family, so we've moved around a bit. I was in a life group, and I was attending church, and I was in devotion time, and I was in prayer time, but I wasn't feeling it. And then I said some ridiculous words like, I'm just not being fed here. And I'm telling my life group leader this, and he says, so what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? What am I doing? I'm going to church. I'm in a life group. I'm praying. I'm doing a devotion. And he goes, where are you serving? And I wasn't. I wasn't serving. I was taking care of the body of one.
There you go. And that can be our mentality sometimes. You know, hey, feed me. What we do is we become spiritually obese. Mm-hmm. We get to the point where it's all about me, and we're not doing anything to make a difference in the lives of others. And if we go back and read these verses that Jesus taught us, we see that, you know what, we're to be helping each other. We're to be blessing each other. We're to be serving one another. So, Wendy, I appreciate it. If you guys would give her a hand. Wendy and them are going to be leaving in July, I think it is. So we're going to have a loss here. On our staff. She's been my assistant, and she has been incredible. And what a great heart, what a great servant mentality. But I'm just telling you, she is a living example of what it means to serve others. She really goes out of her way to do that. So let's look at a couple of lines here. Number one, Jesus first. I know you guys know this acrostic, but if you want joy in your life, and Wendy overflows with joy. I mean, I told somebody the other day, if Wendy is praying, I cannot help but smile. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whenever there's certain, but her joy, her effervescence is so evident, you know, that you're like, you know what? When she's praying, I'm smiling. And I'll even try to get more serious, and I'll just start smiling again. So, but her joy is affecting the people around her. And so I'm just saying, if we want to have joy, and we all need joy, I mean, put Jesus first. And then the second one there is others next. You know, let's not make it about me. Let me make it about Jesus. Everything that I do should be with Jesus as the major focus of my life. Jesus first. If He's truly Lord, then He is first. And if He's not first, He's not really Lord of your life. He's just somewhere in the mix. And so what our mentality ought to be is, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be first and foremost in my life. Everything that I do, I want to make that decision based on You and my relationship with You. And then others, putting others next. Because we're to love God with everything that's in us. We're to love God, and then we're to love others as we love ourselves. And so it's about loving others. And here's the thing, even those that are tough to love. It's about loving them. And then the last one is yourself last. And so joy comes from me being willing to say, God, you know, I want joy in my life, and I know what that formula is. And that formula is putting Jesus first, letting Him be Lord, and putting others second, and then me last. You know, there's a lot of people that battle depression during these winter months. I know we had snow. We get excited here in Alabama. People from up north, they probably think we're the biggest nuts in the world, but we like it. And now the ice is a different ball game. But the thing is I saw a lot of joy. But a lot of people who see snow all the time and they're in the winter months, you know, they've done a lot of studies. And in some of the colder climates and stuff where it's darker and stuff, like Montana where we have a church plant that's a friend of ours is up there, he said, man, depression is huge. But how do you have joy in the midst of depression? That's it right there. It's Jesus, others, and then me last. It's me being willing to minister to the needs of the people around me. It's making sure that, you know what, I stay focused on what matters most. Because what a lot of times what happens is depression, man, it's demonic, I'm just telling you. And it'll tend to overtake us, and it tries to rob us of our joy. And God wants us to be full of joy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundant. And no matter where we live, no matter what the temperature, no matter what the sun's doing, we've got to be willing to stay focused on the Son, Jesus Christ, and let Him work through us to serve others around us. So what are some next steps? So here's some next steps for us today. Number one is discover my spiritual gifts so that I can help others. I want to challenge you to do that. Discover what your spiritual gifts are. If you don't know what they are, find out this week. Don't put it off any longer. And don't make that excuse anymore. Well, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, you know, what they are. Well, that's on you. Make the time, take the time to find out what they are. We will help you with that. Our staff is going to be back here in the back. Everybody look back at the upcoming events back there. Y'all see Nathan. Y'all see John back there. They're waving. They're going to be back there in a little bit, and they're going to take a card from you. And so that's what we're going to do. I want you to take out your connection card. It's this one right here. You know, take this out. Everybody take one out. I want you to go ahead and grab a pen. You got a little work to do today. So I want you to take it out. I want you to flip it over. And on the back, it talks about name. I know earlier Daniel may have said, hey, you fill out whatever you're comfortable with. I want you to fill it out. And you might say, well, Mike, I filled these out before. I want you to fill it out. And then I want you to drop down to the very bottom box at the very bottom of the page. And it says, I would like to speak to someone about serving at Journey. Now, some of you guys may go, you know what, Mike, I'm already serving. All right, well, there may be something else on here you need to talk to somebody about. There's other boxes on there. There's other statements in there. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you're here and you're a follower of Christ, you're not serving, you need to step up. You need to follow Him. You know, and so I want to challenge you. So after the service, you're going to have an opportunity to take this card back to that table where the staff is going to be and walk up to them and say, hey, listen, I'm not serving anywhere, and I want to help others. And put it in their hand. Introduce yourself. And you know, and if you know maybe you know where you want to serve, then talk to them about it. You know, and there may be some of you say, well, Mike, I would do that, but I'm not a member of the church yet. Listen, we even have a place that we call First Serve where you don't even have to be a member of Journey Church yet. You can serve in the parking lot. You can serve in the cafe. You can serve as a greeter. We want people serving. And I've had people for a long time that say, you know, I haven't joined. I keep, you know, wanting to do the membership class, but I keep forgetting about it or whatever. And I said, listen, you can still serve. You don't have to be a member to serve. And so I want to just challenge you to get plugged in serving here in the body. And here's the thing. I believe that God will use you to make a difference in the lives of people. You know, there's teachers over here in our children's ministry that by serving and using their gifts, a lot of these kids that we're talking about are coming to know Christ because of what they're doing over here. We've got youth workers that are helping out with these students. Those five students who gave their life to Christ. There's been little seeds planted all along the way. So here's what I'm saying. By serving others, number one, others are blessed, but we are blessed as a result. Can you imagine how blessed you would be to know that, you know what, a kid that you've been pouring into and been praying for, you see them get on their knees and pray to receive Christ? There's nothing like that. I'm just telling you, there's nothing that will compare to that. And so I want to challenge you to take this card and to walk around and say, you know what, I want to serve. I want to make a difference in the lives of others. And don't make excuses and don't let Satan talk you out of it before you get out of here. Don't let being shy, don't let anything rob you of using your gifts, your abilities, and all that God has shaped you to do to make a difference in the lives of others. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes.